Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found, but don't
you... Yeah, we did. We started to burn so many things we found. This is Harvey Wasserman back here with another hour of the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show at PRN. We are going to be talking today about the disaster in Georgia, the stolen election. I have posted, co-authored with Bob Fatakis, a piece that's going around the internet. It's at reader-supported news, freepress.org, solartopia.org, Smirking Chimp, a few other places, I'm sure, basically about how the brain-dead Democrats and the corporate media are saying nothing about how this election was stolen, yet another stolen election, another Jim Crow Republican triumph here in the accelerating descent of the United States of America into the deepest realms of Trump fascism, all brought to us by stolen elections. John Brakey, are you on with us yet?
I certainly am.
Okay, so we are going to spend this full hour. Bob Patrick is going to join us at the half hour, and we're going to focus on, we have another guest with us. Is anyone else on with us?
Yes, you do.
And, you are, you're from South Carolina. Your name is?
Deb Arneson, and I live in Pageland, South Carolina now, originally from North Carolina, and prior to that in Florida.
All right, so Deb has been an election activist, knocking on doors, doing everything she can to get this country back from the extreme right wing, and John Brakey has been on with us before. John is an election protection activist of the first degree in Arizona. John, are you in Phoenix now?
No, I'm in Tucson, and got back after quite an adventure on the road for 13 days, doing all these different events across the country. And
I have a burning question for you. Is it hotter in Tucson or in Phoenix?
Phoenix is a lot harder.
Oh, okay. It's God. Hot. You know, they're actually talking about, I'm glad we don't have to worry, as Donald Trump says, we don't have to worry about global warming. They're actually talking now about canceling flights in and out of Phoenix because it's too hot, which makes the air too thin to hold up an airplane. I mean, it's astounding.
Exactly.
I'm supposed to fly to California through Phoenix. I guess I'm going to have to reroute at some point. But since we don't have global warming, we don't have to worry about all that, and we'll rely on Donald Trump to keep our airplanes in the air. So, John Brakey, you looked pretty closely at this latest runoff election in Georgia, which was such a crushing defeat for the Democrats. Tell us, in your opinion, what happened and how this thing was stolen.
Well, it's pretty obvious that this whole process, I mean, you know, first off, you know, Greg Palast's work, you can see that they use all the tools and the trickery to go ahead and steal elections, you know, bringing out Jim Crow and pushing people off the voter registration. But, you know, the tool I'm here to talk about is really, you know, I've sat down and worked with Garland and analyzed the results. And I think this is a very startling information I'm going to give you, is that, you know, they do have absentee vote by mail there. And it's a hard copy ballot that they mail out, okay? In this election, 10.76% of the vote was vote by mail counted on an optical scanner. And, of course, that means there's paper that Auschwitz won that by 64%. And it's not a small number. I'm talking 28,000 paper ballots. that were scanned, okay? And of course, fraction magic, you know, can change the numbers, but it cannot change a ballot. They choose not to tamper with the vote by mail. They only tampered with the DRE because it's only electrons. And when they, and I've done this, I've run fraction magic. I know how it works. And the first time I ever run it, I went directly to the column that I wanted to affect because I know that it was unauditable and changed the numbers there. But where I knew I could get caught, I knew that I would not change the number. Because
All right, so are you saying definitively that you believe this election in Georgia was stolen?
I would say that there's a, you know, I'm waiting for a couple of answers to come back. And the big answer I'm going to find out for the anomaly, did the Oster's campaign work hard doing ballot harvesting? If they did, that could possibly explain it. If they say, no, we didn't, then that means to me the true vote could have been the vote by mail, because there's actual paper and they were afraid to steal there, and they sold on the DREs, which is the other 89% of the vote is just electrons. Make sense?
So if it was stolen, how would they have done it? What is the modus operandi in this Georgia runoff election that put the congressional seat into the Republican category? Let's go through the whole thing.
The name of the guy who's in charge of the whole crummy system in Georgia, his name is Merle King. Merle King, I came across him 10 years ago because Pima County brought him in as an expert witness. And at that point right there, we went into the DREs in a deposition. Jim March, I don't know if you remember Jim. Jim's a super geek who knows elections, used to work with Bev very closely, Bev Harris. And he was torn apart and exposed how these DREs could easily be hacked. And our whole system was security by obscurity. And until the deposition, I'm sending it back east to people to go through, because Merle King is now claiming he did not know of these deficiencies when he knew 10 years ago through Pima County, because we had the same equipment, that how severe it was. And so his choice was to use a system called security by obscurity. I guess last August, their system was hacked, and he acted surprised and said, gee, he didn't know about these vulnerabilities, and he knew about them all the time. His facility at the campus, I forget the name of the university, they program all of the computer software, and they send it up. And it would be, when you program the Diebold system, you build the ballot in the management system, the EMS, the election management system. And at that point right there, you could build it into the system and then send, program the memory cards and put them out there, and then fraction magic is working. They would probably not do the vote by mail because that's hard copy paper ballot. And they'll let that go natural because somebody might say, hey, we want to look at those ballots and get them. They need to add up right, and they probably will. And like I said, that means that in this election, that the Democratic candidate won it by 64% and 11%. The only way you can prove that the election is real on the paper. And he won it by 64. The other ones easily changed, and what are you going to do about it? They steal with impunity.
It's amazing. We're talking with John Brickey. Now, Deb, you are in the Carolinas there. You were telling me earlier in the day about some experiences you had and other people told you about with direct recorded entry electronic voting machines. You want to talk to us a bit about that? And I assume that, John Brakey, that what she's going to describe here also happened this year in Georgia. So go ahead, Deb. Tell us about this.
Yeah, I was listening to John, and I'm taking notes. but anyway, I agree with him totally. These machines are easily hacked. I went and I campaigned for John Ossoff for 2 days. I took a four-hour ride on my own dime and went around door to door. I will have to say the majority of people I spoke to were for the Democrats. And then Archie Parnell was only an hour ride away from here, me here, and I went down to Bishopville, and I would have to say that the majority of people that I spoke with, and I'll tell you what, every black person I ever talked to was certainly for the Democrats, which is a relief. I had much better luck talking to black people, much kinder, much nicer, much more empathetic than a lot of the white people. But that's neither here nor there. I'm white myself, so anyway.
Okay, so
Archie Parnell, I worked for his election, too, and I think they were both rigged. And the reason I'm saying this, I mean, I've been through a lot of elections, but we have to go back to 2004.
Okay,
and I was living in Naples, Florida.
Deb, hello, Deb.
Yeah, sure.
Before you have a little echo on your phone, so I need you to talk a little.
Let me get off the speaker. Hold on a second.
Yeah, don't be on speaker.
Okay. Wait a minute now. Let's make sure we're not.
Okay, good. And speak a little more
slowly.
Is that
better? Yeah.
You're talking Southern, and that's a little better, but talk slowly.
Anyway, okay. A little slow down. There's so much to get in. I worked for the election for Archie Parnell in Bishopville. I worked for John Ossoff for 2 days in Georgia. And I really feel that the majority of people I spoke to were for the Democrats. They're voting on ESNS, no paper trail machines. And so I have to go back to my experience in 2004 election in Naples, Florida. I was an assistant manager of Loves for Youth Haven, which was a thrift shop. I had 80 volunteers working for me. And I went to visit Jennifer Edwards, who was the supervisor of elections and a Republican in Collier County. And she assured me that they could never steal this election because it wasn't even connected to the internet, and she showed me the machine. Okay, I still didn't think like it. I was upset about Gore in 2000, so I voted to have a paper trail. My husband and I voted by absentee ballot. But my volunteers came back to me after voting, and one of them came up to me and said to me, you know, I tried to vote for Kerry. She said, but it came up Bush. So I just re-voted and I left. Didn't check it. Another one came to me and she said, I tried to vote for Kerry and it came up Bush. And then when I checked it and I checked it and I checked it, the same thing happened 3 times. So she said, I asked the person assisting there how to get it to come up for Kerry, and she gave me a pencil. And she said, take the eraser and put the end of the eraser on the circle, and it came up for Kerry. Then I talked to one of my other volunteers, a gentleman who had used to work for the racetrack, and he said, the grid all looks the same. It's as big for, you know, Bush or Kerry, whatever. But underneath the grid, it's arranged so that you have to hit exactly on that little circle in order to get Kerry, because they want, just like at the racetrack, the horse they want you to bet for takes up all the underspace of the grid. Now, they were so proud that you couldn't double vote, you know, like the Chaz in 2000. You couldn't double vote. But the thing was, you take your finger right now, and as you go to put your finger, your pointer finger on my right hand, as I go to put it down, very likely the middle finger is going to touch the machine. And that's what was happening. Now, I was really upset because I know my bank is had a Diebold thing to give me my bank account information. And they gave me a paper trail, you know. And the ESNS Agrotronics has been used and is still being used. That was 2004. There is no paper trail. And from my experience with these recent elections, from my experience in 2016 for Hillary, and I can tell you I was a poll watcher if you have time to listen to that. I'll go into it a little bit more. It's the same thing. It's these machines. And there was no paper trail. And exactly what he was talking about, if you went by mail and it was 64%, the damn one, well, that's the truth.
John Brakey, does all this sound familiar to you?
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of it is that, you know, the Diebold company, when it came to their bank machines, they really made those. The original ones came out, if you ever study it with the history, they were cheaply made in Taiwan. They had a lot of problems in there because clearly if you're going to steal, it was the screen, the delaminating, they're having problems, and that's where all these old DREs are having a lot of problems doing that. because realistically, if you're going to steal, you're not going to do it in front of somebody. You're going to do it afterwards because they can be programmed to do that. And that's what these DREs are capable of doing with fraction magic. And that's how the system works, because really fraction magic was basically discovered at a Memphis, Tennessee, on the same kind of voting system, which was the old D-Bolt, which is now a new company out of Canada called Dominion. And and then, of course, you know, that all these companies, I think that Mimi Kenny would say, they all have STDs, okay, software transmitted disease, because they've all been in bed with each other one time or another. And so basically, yeah, we got a big problem. And the real theft, you're really not going to see, because it's so well done, you know. It's hard to believe that this is possible. We do know one thing. Last year and this year has really proven to be the time that the American people are starting to realize that their elections are in danger. And if we do not start moving towards elections that are transparent, trackable, and publicly verified, that we're going to have severe problems in this country. And the big problem, I believe, that the Democrats have to realize is their biggest fear. Because now that people know that elections are being gamed, a lot of people are going to say, why vote? Why even bother? You know? And that's where, you know, the program that we at Audit AZ and many other activists across the country are pushing is to make, you know, the new system with the ballot images, publish them online, let people download a program, let them add them themselves, take the impunity away from the system. Certainly, transparency is really the solution. That's why I'm no longer an election integrity activist. I'm an election transparency activist. I know the system has very little integrity, so give me a lot of transparency, because that's what I want. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. So please come to the show now, Deb. Do you believe that John Ossoff was the rightful winner in this Georgia election, where you were on the ground, you were knocking on doors, you were in precincts? What is your feeling about how this outcome was managed?
Yes, just from knocking on doors, the people that I spoke with, although I will tell you a lot of people were just jaded from all the inundation of all the material. I had one poor lady practically cried. You know, just leave me alone, get it over with, you know, that type of thing. But the truth, as far as I see it, is that the majority of people that I spoke with, and I did have a list, I have to say I was given a list, you know, by the Democratic Party, but even people I talked to in the street as I was going on my way seemed to prefer John Ossoff. And I hoped me and the lady that I walked out with, hoped we made a difference, maybe at least in some small way to the people we spoke to. But it's so demoralizing. I called her and I said, look, don't give up the hope. I said, I really think that it was rigged. And I told her exactly what I just told you about the 2004 election. And if you want to hear some things about the 2016 for Hillary here in South Carolina, these people are crazy. They again, on the ES&S Ivotronics, the election was held in a church. These people were church members. They from 7 a.m. to 10, I watched them ask people, are you Democrat or Republican? Which I thought, so I ran after people because I was supposed to keep an eye on this stuff. And I said, do you mind being asked that in front of the rest of the people in line? And everyone said yes and gave me their phone number. So by 10 o'clock, the Republican poll watcher came in, and he said, this whole thing has to be thrown out, he said. But he called his boss, and his boss said, leave it alone. And I called my boss, and she said, well, leave it alone. They even came out, and they looked at the, you know, at the machines. The problem was they shouldn't have been Republican or Democrat, these things that they stuck into the machines, was because if you lived on one side of the street, you had to vote for a water commissioner right in, and the other side of the street you didn't. So I don't know, then nothing was thrown out, nothing was said, nothing was done, and the Dems didn't do anything about it either. So It's just a big, you can tell what they're doing, and they're spreading these rumors, of course. I just, one real quick thing, if you have a minute to listen, what they told my grandchildren at the Christian school they attended in North Carolina about Hillary.
Yeah.
They said, Hillary kills babies. So my grandkids get in the car when I pick them up. I'm talking about first and second graders, and they tell me that their teacher said, Hillary kills babies. I get really upset. I said, Hillary does not kill babies. China kills babies. You know, but still, a lot of these Christians just went for that, and though nothing else was important, and Trump's, you know, whole modus operandi was just fine as long as he'd get the right person in the Supreme Court. It's really crazy. It really is.
Yes, it is. Now, John Brakey, you told me earlier about a discrepancy between the mail-in paper ballots and the machine-counted ballots in this runoff election with John Ossoff. Can you tell us a bit about that?
I don't know if it was me or the other gentleman that you were just speaking to. As far as the mail-in, I can only tell you I didn't see any. Are you talking about with Hillary?
Well, John, no, here, well, this year, John... Yeah. John Brakey from Arizona knows about this.
Results,
John,
that's the question I want to ask her, because, you know, she was on the ground, okay, worked with the campaign, and if I could, Deb, was there any special effort to do ballot harvesting by the Democrats there? Did they make it a point to hit nursing homes and help people fill out absentee ballot information?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, see, that's the only thing. Well, and the reason I ask this is that, you know, you've got a rule of large numbers here, okay? And I've been studying these voting systems for many, many years, especially the D-Bowl. That was my favorite, okay? And I analyze elections, and I look for what I call the split, okay? Mm-hmm. And really, you know, I also call them possibly, you know, being three pollsters, okay? You have, in Pima County, we have our vote by mail. Okay, and that is one number, and then you have your precinct vote, and then you have your provisional. So they report it that way by precinct, okay? Mm-hmm. And when you look at the numbers in an honest election, you'll find that the numbers are within 2-3% of each other because it's in the same precinct. And when you lump it all together, it becomes the rule of large numbers. And so what I call that when I'm analyzing, I look for splits. And what I mean by that is that when one person wins the, in this case, the vote by mail by 64% and then loses in the other side by 48%, that's what he got, that's a large deviation, and you wonder why, because it's from the same precinct. It's from the overall number. And so you wonder what made that happen. And my concern was for ballot harvesting by the Democrats in order to make that number go up so high. Because that's the only logical thing to me that could explain it.
I don't know. I just went door to door. I went on a list that I was given. I was told a couple of times that they've already been here. I've already voted. That was for the early voting for John Ossoff. There was no early voting for R.T. Parnell. I felt like I was wasting my time in some cases because
helpful to all of us is that contact the leadership that you work with. You know, have them get in contact. There's a number of tremendous activists across the country that are studying this phenomenon right now, and we need to get into the campaign to find out what is their rationale for this happening.
Right.
Does that make
good
sense?
Idea.
So what do we do now?
It is a nightmare. We've seen now that the Republicans have won three consecutive congressional races since Trump took office, despite the fact that his poll numbers have been plummeting. And to quote Donald today, he says, we've been doing nothing but winning. And, of course, now they've submitted their health plan to destroy Obamacare and take coverage away from 20 million people. But the bottom line here is that it appears that there's no ability to crack into the Republican
electoral apparatus. If they're controlling the electronic voting machines and the vote counting, I don't see any situation where they're going to lose control of the Congress or anything like that. Do you? Do either of you?
No.
Not at this rate. I mean, I watch elections. You know that. I mean, I live to watch elections. And this is incredible, the rhythm that's developing that just does not make sense. And I'll have to say, sometimes I wonder, you know, I'm grateful for your article because it really spells out, well, where are these Democrats? Can they really be this stupid? Or the public believing them being stupid? I don't know. I mean, it is a very serious situation. It looks like fraud.
I figured out something to do because I feel totally frustrated. My vote doesn't count. I call my Congress people from all three places where I used to live, as well as here, every day. And I give them news you can use. And I try to be very kind and nice to these nice young aides that they have, you know, and give them information because they couldn't possibly have time to find out all this stuff. But that does not make any difference whatsoever because they are bought and paid for by Big Oil or Russia or somebody's money. And like Burr, who got, I was used to live in North Carolina too, and Burr received $8 million in campaign finance funds from oil company. And I believe that this is true. I got it from the Parnell report. I don't know, but it's $20,000 he currently has invested in a Russian oil drilling company. Now that should be conflict of interest. So here's what I decided to do, because I'm not getting anywhere. I'm going to vote with my dollars. So I found out, divest, reinvest, and clean. Okay, I'm clean air, clean water, clean government. That's my slogan, and it has been for a long time. I'm very active in that area as well. So I'm going to vote with my dollars. So I found out that most of my big banks, like my SunTrust and Wells Fargo and my credit cards from Citibank through Costco, are all invested in the Dakota Access Pipeline, as well as a lot of oil and gas investments. And I wrote to them and I said, look, I'm going to stop subsidizing my own demise.
Because, good for you. Wow.
Yeah, and I want my legislators who are being bought and paid for with my money, actually, to wear a jacket like the race car drivers that says who their sponsors are.
I like that. That's a good idea.
Yeah, so that's one of those things. And yeah, Sierra does have a green credit card.
Well, let's go back to that one. I think that it would be a very cool idea to put all the members of Congress into like jumpsuits, like NASCAR jumpsuits, and they should have a label for each corporate sponsor that puts them into the Congress. I think that's a great idea. I like that, somebody, we should get a cartoonist to write that up. That would be very good. So,
write to your CEOs of your banks and credit cards. Thanks.
All right, so now the Dakota Pipeline, which banks are invested in the Dakota Pipeline?
17 of them, and that includes Wells Fargo, and that includes SunTrust, and then there's a bunch of other names I'm not too familiar with. Bank of America was. They now try to claim that they're going green, and they have a credit card from Environmental Defense Fund. That's supposed to be green investments, but I'm very leery and watchful because most all the big banks, Citibank, oh my God, Costco just changed from American Express, which invests in nobody, to Citibank, Citicard, and they're deep into the Dakota Access Pipeline and oil and gas. So we need to let these corporations, the presidents, the board of their boards know. And if you're invested in a mutual fund, divest. Go put your money into clean, green tech. I hope that all your listeners know that Elon Musk of Tesla and SpaceX and Robert Iger of Disney both quit the President's Advisory Council because he left the Paris Climate Accord. So I'm trying to reach Elon Musk. Maybe we can all get together on the same page and work together. We don't have much time, and I'm serious about that as far as this planet and the future for my 10 grandchildren.
You should be. Right on. You really are. You know, thank you. Because, you know, I feel exactly the same way. And I'm grateful to know that there's people a lot like you. As I'm working on the election angle, that you're doing this other stuff, that getting a hold of these people are just so damn important to do. Really is. And one thing also is that, you know, I have family friends, and one of them called me up and said that he knows that Barack Obama's wife is a man, okay? I mean, that's how crazy this groupthink or fake news is going on out there. And I'm not listening to that kind of media to have people who would believe and teach little kids in school that, you know, Hillary is a molester. I mean, this is craziness. And to have people who believe this kind of craziness.
Our country definitely seems to have gotten unhinged. And, you know, we're in a deep problem here. And to me, the biggest problem is the fact that our elections are completely rigged. The one thing that Donald Trump has said that I agree with him is obviously true, is that our election system is rigged, and he would know because it's being done for him. Now, John, and let's jump back to the 2016 election. John, you and I have participated in some events together. Yes. Do you see the pattern here in this Georgia election, which has been so important, coming up from 2016? What's the continuity here?
The continuity is that we're still racing towards fascism, okay? And that maybe, you know, that our effort may not work unless more of us wake up and realize that that we have to stop this. And the only way we're going to do it is by making it transparent. You know, I think that, you know, I don't know if you know, yesterday they had the Senate hearing. And they had, of course, they're pushing this crazy story that they know it was the Russians, at least the deep state people are. But the other panel that came on says, we have no evidence that it's the Russians, okay? And then people like you and me and others know that, hey, these systems are done by insiders. And it could be a vendor. It could be somebody in the loop. I mean, there's so many different ways to hack these systems that... it's all possible. And I think if anything about 2016 stroked me the worst, the heist was done in the primary. Okay. Your book, the only thing I add to your book that you wrote, I talk about the stack. Then there was the script and that process right there. So you guys really nailed it real well. And thank you for your leadership bringing this all stuff out and plus mentoring so many of us.
Harvey. Well, you're talking about myself and
background.
Bob Patrakis is on the line with you as well.
Okay,
Bob.
John Brakey, has just complimented us, and you're also on with Deb from the South Southeast. Deb was door to door in the Georgia district of campaigning for John Ossoff, and we're discussing the fiasco, the latest fiasco of the Democrats blowing yet another election to Donald Trump. I wanted to talk with you, Bob, specifically. You're here in Central Ohio with me about the Supreme Court decision that has just allowed the procedures that the Ohio Secretary of State John Houston has been doing in terms of stripping people off the voter rolls and throwing their provisional ballots in the trash. Can you describe, we've talked a bit about the direct, the DRE, the direct recorded entry voting machines, which clearly were in use in Georgia. And also, we haven't talked much, though, about the stripping of the voter rolls. But this Supreme Court decision, which came down on Monday, seems devastating to me. Can you tell us a bit about what John Houston has been doing here in Ohio to strip voters off the rolls?
Well, here's what they've done, Harvey, and this goes back, of course, as we well know, to Ken Blackwell in the 2004 election. There used to be a time in Ohio in the 1990s and prior to the 2004 election, and what would happen is the Secretary of State, Sherrod Brown and Bob Taft, envisioned that their job was to actually register people to vote, and they actually would have contests. and brag about registering lots of people and having a high percentage. But of course, coming out of Karl Rove and the far right and some of the Christian coalition was a notion that you don't win election by getting the most voters. You win elections by voter suppression, particularly the suppression of minority voters and poor people. So Blackwell really did that, and they used a variety of different things, Voterville, HAVA, parts of law that indicated that if you didn't do certain things, like if you haven't voted in the last two election federal election cycles, you could be stripped off the rolls. Now, historically, a federal election cycle used to mean 4 years. Presidential election, the congressional off-year election, presidential election, off-year election. So that would give you 8 years. People like John Houston, Secretary of State like Houston, have begun to say, well, it means two federal elections, right? And that could be a primary. So if you didn't vote 2 years ago, right, in 2014 in the general election, and you skipped the primary in Ohio, you would have missed two elections, and hence they can mark you inactive and send you something that you don't respond to, some official letter, and then they use that because you haven't responded to it to essentially remove you from the voting rolls, even though you live at the same address and have lived there for decades, or you're still in the county and eligible to vote at the voting center. So what we've moved into in Houston between the 2012 and 2016 election purged 1,050,000 voters. And this has been going on prior to that. You know, Blackwell had purged 305,000 in an odd number year, which was actually against procedure. So,
okay.
But the reality is that Ohio's not a swing state. Florida's not a swing state. These aren't swing states. They're only swing states because of the mass purging of poor and minority voters.
Yes. Now, Bob, of the 1 million voters that were stripped off the voter rolls in Ohio, where about 5 million, 5 to 5.5 million people vote, what percentage would you estimate were Black, Hispanic, Asian American, or Muslim?
Oh, when we looked at this, stuff before, you had 12%. In 2004, we had pretty high numbers. When about 12% of the population in the state was Black, the numbers we had were well over 40% Black. And in certain cities, you got to remember that they purged a quarter of the voters in Cleveland alone, 24.96% of every voter, 1 in 4 in Cleveland. And of those, 61% were Black. So, I mean, it's just a phenomenal amount of people in the urban area. When we looked at the numbers in Toledo, 40% of the voters came out of the four most Black wards in the city. Cincinnati, the same thing. So what we found is wherever there were a lot of deregistered voters, intentionally deregistered by election officials, they were in the wards that had the highest percentage of Black and minority voters. So, really, you're talking, 40%, 40 to 60%, I think is a good estimation.
So this is a staggering reality now in American political elections. We used to have the Ku Klux Klan riding through the South, lynching Black people who dared to speak out or even register to vote. Now, today, they do it in what Clarence Thomas called a high-tech lynching, where millions of voters are stripped off the voter rolls. John and Dan, I'm sure you're aware, but Bob, can you characterize Greg Palast's work with cross-check and the computerization of electronic vote stripping? or registration stripping?
Oh, sure. It's what's happened is the big data companies, and we saw this with 2000 with ChoicePoint that had done work, you know, for the federal government, for the FBI, for the Justice Department. You get these mega data collectors. And in the case of Florida in 2000 and continued since then, essentially you make something up. We're going after, you know, felons because the nature of the war on drugs having been racist. So you're going to go after felons. But how you match, right? You can have a loose match or a strict match. That is, you can actually go after the people you want to eliminate who shouldn't be voting. And you do that by having their first name, last name, you know, middle name, middle initial, date of birth, right? You can actually, if they match all those four things, you're positive. Now, say you're really just trying to get rid of black voters. And, you know, there's a variety. There was only so many plantations, as you well know, in the United States.
Right.
And some had names like Washington and Jackson, for example. So what you do is you simply, instead of trying to find the people with a strict match, when you're just simply trying to eliminate minorities, you go with, you know, Michael Jackson. And then you make a absurd assumption that Michael Jackson in 29 states is the same guy who signed up in 29 different states and bought himself apparently a very fast car or a Learjet so he can hop from state to state on election day and vote multiple times. I mean, the assumption is so absurd. So what you're really trying to do is find a, you know, ethnic name that is common. So you can, you know, because that's what the big data people do. That's what the pollsters do. If you know that, you know, 95% of African Americans, are voting Republican, often you don't know how the white population is voting. But if you know that, you go and find typically black names or typically Hispanic names or typically Asian American names and you go after them. Well, I think in your case, in Bexley, typically Jewish liberal names, Harvey, because they came after you.
Well, they came after me. You know, that Wasserman name, that's a dead giveaway. And they tried to strip me from the voter rolls. So what Greg Palast has showed in 2016 is with the use of the cross-check program that was pioneered by Chris Kobach, a far-right Republican Secretary of State in Kansas, used in 29 states to strip God knows how many people from the voter rolls. And, of course, as you showed in Ohio, Bob, they would have been very, very predominantly black. Now, was this a factor, any one of the three of you, this stripping of the voter rolls, was this done significantly in this recent Georgia congressional race? Was there an impact?
You know, I don't know, but I'd say this. It's been a huge factor in the last couple of years, and mainly in 2016, that, you know, as Bob was talking about, that kind of suppression using information and technology, is that they also use the technology to go ahead and run fake news on you and you know, and doing that. And then this thing was, you know, the man who found Fraction Magic is a really incredible human being out of Memphis, Tennessee, and he's black. And he found out, this is just incredible to say, that when black people were voting, they somehow was able to tie it to the voter rolls. And when they voted, they would vote for white prosecutors. And the numbers that he worked out, that they were setting the settings at 3/5 of a person, like it was originally.
Well, that's fitting.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
And that, it's incredible to know that.
Yeah. So basically, then, what's happened to our electoral system between cross-check, I just see that Time Magazine is running a major piece that apparently the Republican Party, and Bob, you slipped this into our article, the Republican Party had access to 190 million names in this past election that they were able to manipulate the database on. Can you explain that a bit, Bob?
What was the specific question?
The access that the Republicans had through this major data firm.
Sure. And we've seen this problem
Harvey?
Yes, you're breaking up on me, Bob.
Harvey, can you hear me? This is Mimi Kennedy called in.
Oh, Mimi, you're on. And Mimi, and Bob, you faded away.
I know. I can hear me?
Yes. So Mimi Kennedy, great election activist from Los Angeles. And Bob Fitrakis, are you still with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. So Mimi, Bob was explaining very quickly, and then I want you to jump in, about the access the Republicans had to 190 million names, virtually everybody in that was eligible to vote. Bob, you want to talk about that real quick, and then Mimi jump in?
In a headline, everything you needed to steal an election. But we've been warning about this since 2004, Harvard, when the voter vault, which was up in Chattanooga with Powell's and the Ohio vote, it was all integrated together, is that if you want to electronically vote people, it has to be plausible. You had to have a real time. It allows you to have all the personal information on all these voters and to know their voting history. But when you bring in fake cyber votes, they're plausible. You're voting Republican-dependent. You don't have to switch votes and get implausible results. Boost evidence in Ohio in 2004. Where we coined the axiom over to the center, you can.
Bob, you're breaking
Bob,
up on
I
us.
I can't hear your explanation.
Yeah, you're breaking up on us. Bob, if you can switch to landline, maybe it would be helpful. Mimi Kennedy, can you tell us I'm glad you're with us. We've been talking about this most recent stolen election in Georgia. What do you got to add?
Well, I've been so frustrated. I really have not spoken very much. I'm starting to today explore things. But I did talk to Bev Harris, and I said after seeing the congressional hearings on cybersecurity a little bit on C-SPAN 3 yesterday and hearing once again the assertions that anything the Russians got by intruding into voter registration data as they did in 39 states, I think it is now. That is those are the ingredients you need to cook the math for a theft program that will pass the smell test. Generally, you would cook it a little bit before the election when you have the latest polling data. But you don't even need the polling data if you have the voter registration rolls that do show voter histories. And by voter histories, I mean not how they voted, even though they will have a party affiliation next to their name generally. It's different, I think, state by state. Greg showed how BL was next to some voters' names on such databases he got, meaning right there, black. You didn't have to guess by name. But in these voter histories, it shows that they voted at the polls last time. They voted by mail. They always vote by mail. They're permanent vote by mail. They didn't vote at all in the last two federal elections. And to speak to that part of it, Bev had a whistleblower contact her some years ago, saying someone's going into the voter registration rolls and changing voter histories. You know, they had voted in the primary and the general, say, in a given year, and suddenly, whoops, now they hadn't voted in either of those elections. And the surmise was that you would do such a thing in order for when the purge that's legal does go through, we are now going to get rid of people who haven't voted in the last two elections, or at least contact them with this
mailed postcard that most people will ignore and think it could get lost. They could think it's junk mail. It's the only contact they'll get, which if they don't answer it, they will then be purged from the voter rolls. That is what can be done with the kinds of databases that were hacked, as they say, by the Russians. But as I say, it could be Uncle Joe who needs some dough, or it could be a Russian, or anybody in between. But those voter databases are the ingredients you assemble to make a soup. And the soup is a fractional program that weights likely voters for and against your candidate. And that's how you make three-fifths of a person or any other fraction you'd like. And Bev did say that she noted in a Capitol Hill hearing that was not yesterday's televised one, but something organized by the nonprofit National Election Integrity Defense Coalition, National Election Defense Coalition, and it is on their website. There is a two-hour hearing and two cyber spies for our side, a defense guy and an attack guy, were on the panel along with James Woolsey of the CIA. And all three of them said, if we don't go to paper ballots, we are sitting ducks. Yes, our elections will be manipulated and hacked. They, too, doubted that anything had been changed in the tabulating for 2016. But Bev Harris and I, and anybody who knows about fraction magic, understand that simply by gaining the voter rolls, what you can cook is a program. And it doesn't need to have a wireless access for intrusion. You can load it on a USB. Anybody with access to come and clean the locks, you know, in a tabulator room can stick it in, load the program. There are many different ways to do that. So this is considered untouchable, but that is what voter rolls mean, along with changing people's party affiliations, which screwed the California primary. Many Bernie voters found themselves independents or Greens when they were Democrats and had asked to be Democrats. Many Latina women that I was poll worker for were suddenly Republicans in the primary and couldn't make their choice. It was very strange.
Well, we've been talking now for most of this hour. Bob, I think, have you gone to your waiver talks, Bob Strakis?
Yeah.
Okay, so Bob, you're still here. Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
The big question, Mimi, Deb, John Brakey, and Bob Fitrakis, why are the Democrats, clearly this most recent election was stolen. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind people were stripped. Greg Palast reported a Korean-American group had registered 10,000 voters, none of whom showed up on the ballots. They were then attacked, Jim Crow style, for having copied the ballot forms. The question is this: why is the Democratic Party letting this happen? Why are they not, why is there not resistance from the Democrats? And why is there absolutely no mention whatsoever in anything that I have seen about the Jim Crow tactics that we used to steal this latest election in Georgia? Mimi, do you want to jump in on that real quick? We've only got 10 minutes left. So.
Yeah, I've asked my congressman the same thing this morning. He's on the front page of the New York Times saying maybe we should have an open discussion about Nancy Pelosi remaining a leader. Maybe that is a foray into discussing. I thanked him and I said the other thing we need open discussion about is election fraud because it's still going on and you guys know it. The speculation is that the Democrats also used to use it. And we know we've got, venal people in both parties everywhere, whether they're hiding as pretend Democrats or real Democrats who have no moral compass or old farts who don't believe anything about computers and don't want to talk about it because it will reveal their ignorance. But it's beyond irresponsible. The planet is parching and burning and our Democrats don't
care. Bob Fitrakis, you want to jump in? And Mimi, thank you. Mimi Kennedy, thank you.
Number one is they're afraid that if they say it, they won't get the voter turnout they need from the ground game. And the other one, the reality is we saw this in Cleveland. The white Democrats in Cuyahoga County wanted the purge of the black voters. They wanted the voter suppression. And even in the 2016 primaries, a variety of suppression and manipulation of machine tactics were used to target Sanders voters. So in some cases, they don't speak up against it because they want to use it as needed against their own progressive enemies in the Democratic Party.
Right, yep. And it's my firm belief that the Democratic corporate Democrats prefer having Donald Trump in the White House to Bernie Sanders, even if Bernie was only going to be vice president. John Brakey, yep. What do you got to say? And then Deb?
Well, just quickly.
Yeah, Deb Arnson, I just wanted to say really, really quick, it's all about Citizens United. It's all about climate change. It's all about exactly what we just said. We've got to stop letting the big oil run our elections, and whether they're Democrats or Republicans, I absolutely agree with you guys, totally.
All right, very good. John, you get the last word.
Okay, well, quickly, everybody's still right on. The only thing I can add is that these databases and the micro-targeting is going on so severely that they know about how you're going to vote. And they also know if you like anchovies or you don't like anchovies on your system. This thing
well,
is so incredible.
I don't like anchovies, and I don't like paper. I don't like electronic voting machines. You've got all good. Mimi, thanks for jumping in. Bob Fitrakis, John Brakey, Deb in South Carolina. We have got to stop this election theft. Georgia is the latest thing. Donald Trump is crowing about all the victories. We got to get hand-counted paper ballots, and we got to do it soon. Thank you so much, all you wonderful guests, and thank you to the crew in New York. This has been Harvey Wasserman at the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. We'll see you again next week with hand-counted paper ballots, transparent and universal voter registration, a four-day weekend for voting, all that great stuff. Maybe someday we'll have a democracy in the United States of America. See you next week.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. So we went digging into the ground and started